way. Huberto walks in, makes a move, and he scores! Jonathan Huberto! And he scores! Alexander Barkov! What a move! He's giving the Panthers the lead once again!
Welcome to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. Here are your hosts, Jamison Olive and Doug Plakins.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers, presented as always by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Doug Plakins, Jamison Olive here with you as always, and the offseason into full swing here. We've got a special guest coming your way here in just a few moments. We'll talk to Matt Kierstedt, Panthers defenseman, made his NHL debut this season, played seven games down the stretch. We'll get a chance to catch up with him, find out about how that experience went when he looks back at it and how he's approaching this offseason. So we're going to hear from Matt Kierstedt, Panthers defenseman, coming up in just a few moments. Our featured guest on this week's edition of Territory Talk coming up later on in the show. We will have some thoughts on some end-of-season NHL awards. Congratulations in order to Panthers captain Alexander Barkov taking home the Selke as the best two-way forward in the National Hockey League. So big congratulations, certainly.
I like that you said that, the best two-way forward in hockey, not the best defensive forward. Because though, even though the award is the best defensive forward, it has become the best two-way forward award.
Yes, it is by definition still the best defensive forward, but it's evolved into the best two-way forward.
The criteria now.
And we've seen the criteria evolve a little bit for multiple awards.
Yes.
I think the
numbers
is viewed differently as well, but there are certain things that have changed with those, but we'll talk about that. And we've been waiting for Alexander Barkov to win a Selke here. He's been deserving for a number of seasons now, but to see him take it home officially this year, certainly awesome to see that. Big congratulations to him. We'll talk about that and more coming up in just a little bit. But Jamison, as I said right off the top, getting into full off-season mode, and we touch on a little bit in the conversation with Matt Kierstedt, but the off-season is a bit shorter for everybody across the National Hockey League this year. And in saying that, everybody's starting to ramp things up. Everybody's starting to get into, you know, looking ahead to next year, turning the page. How are they going to approach the 21-22 season? So obviously things picking up in full swing. But how are you doing, most importantly?
I'm good. I haven't really kicked off my off-season routine yet.
No. You know,
I'm not getting back into that yet. For a little bit, going to enjoy the summer.
Do you do like writing exercises?
Wrist exercises. You know,
crossword puzzles?
Finger stretches, Sudokus. Oh. You know,
wow.
You got to get in the right, you know, frame of mind there. You know, for radio, I just kind of talk in the shower to myself for a bit. You know,
good.
Those exercises, though, I'm saving. I'm waiting for those for a little bit. Twitch, you got to play some games, you know, get back into the flow there. But no, the off-season's great. And like you said, a lot of guys are already getting back to work. You already see, that's kind of the glory of Instagram and things like that. You get to see when guys are already back at the gym.
Pulls back the curtain a little.
Yeah, Spencer Knight was doing some stuff the other day. I saw on Twitter, Aaron Ekblad was at the ice den skating, so that's great to see him coming back from injury, already back on the ice skating. So I'm sure as the offseason goes along, we're going to see a lot more of that, as all the guys just posting themselves at the gym, on the ice, on Instagram. So like you said, that's kind of one of the nice things here about social media, is it does pull back the curtain on that. So things are ramping up. We're almost to July already, and you know what, you get to July, you got the draft, you got the expansion draft, you got free agency. August is kind of where you take that deep breath, and then in September everything kicks off again, and there we go for the next 6-7 months.
I haven't been practicing my play-by-play lately. Maybe it's time for me to start working that back in. I've just been watching games and just watching.
You should just go to the Sawgrass Mall and just commentate on people that walk by.
Oh, there's a guy. He's walking into the store. Will he make a purchase? We'll see. Well, we've got lots coming up here on Territory.
Can we get Billy to do some color for that?
You know what? That would actually be a lot of fun. We could set up a table. We could record
it. Good to see Billy. Doug, he's going into H&M. Some great deals today. I don't know. They don't fit me great. I don't like it. But, you know, when it's two shirts for $10, Doug, you got to take a chance.
And I would say, Billy, how do you know
do
he's shopping for him? Impression. He could be going in there shopping for a gift. And who's that gift going to be for? So many questions to ask. Maybe we'll find out in the intermission. That's what it would sound like if we did play-by-play of people shopping at a mall.
There
but we are going to do an episode of Territory Talk before this thing gets too far off the rails. We've got a lot coming up. Should we dive into our conversation with Matt Kierstedt?
Let's get to the convo
We'll get to the conversation with Matt Kierstedt here. Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Before we get into it, though, Jamison, he's a guy that came in very highly touted. A lot of teams were interested in him. It was great to see the Panthers land Matt Kierstedt, and he came right in and looked comfortable, and you saw the hockey IQ and the instincts were great. And again, for a guy to come in And he was, after four, he did play a full college career. So, I mean, we're not talking about an 18 or a 19-year-old here. We're talking about a guy who's had a chance to really hone his skills in one of the best college hockey programs in the country. But he came in and he looked incredibly comfortable and didn't seem to have any panic factor with the puck. And I don't care how old you are or what kind of experience you have, when you step into the best league in the world and you look immediately like you belong, it was a great thing to see. It was really encouraging and really happy for him to be able to get that experience.
Yeah, and like you said right off the bat, it was just so great to see the Panthers be one of those teams now that can land a big fish like that. A lot of teams were going after Matt Kearse, said the Panthers came out on top. He picked the Panthers. That's kind of, you know, as we look ahead to the future, that's what we expect to see more of down the line as this team continues to make strides and make noise in the NHL. But looking at his game in particular, like you said, a lot to like, you know, gotten seven games. That's a real good taste there. It's not one game. Seven games, you can learn a lot about a player. He can learn a lot about himself, a lot of lessons learned. But the one thing I'll say watching, you know, from the press box down is a lot of the things he was good at are the things that are harder to teach. Like his IQ, his decision making, his gap
control. I thought his instincts were great.
The stuff that, you know, that he needs to get better at are the stuff that you do teach, the stuff that does get better with age in the gym and practice, you know, size, strength, things like that, learning the system, learning the speed. But that's why there's so many reasons to be positive, is all the stuff that's harder to teach, he's good at, and all the stuff that's easier to teach, he's just got to put time in, which will come with being, you know, a professional hockey player.
Yeah, he skates well and he thinks the game well, and those are potentially the two most important things when you go from level to level.
And so, Coach Q said he liked him, and I trust his opinion on things. I think he's been around the block a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. He liked his game as well. So let's get into that conversation. Joining us on this week's edition of Territory Talk, we had a chance to catch up with Matt Kearse, Panthers defenseman. All right, well, Matt, first of all, want to thank you very much for stopping by the show today, for taking some time out for us. And I got to ask you, going into the offseason here now, you're going into this offseason differently than any of the ones you've had before. You're going into this offseason with NHL experience under your belt. First of all, how you doing? Thanks for stopping by. And how's it feel having that NHL experience now going into this offseason?
Yeah, it's going good. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, this, like you said, this offseason is a little different. You know, the past 4 years, I've kind of spent most of my summer up at school training and doing stuff with the team there. So this year, you know, it's a little different not having the facility up there and living at home in Minnesota instead of being up in North Dakota. So, but no, I mean, there's a lot of hockey players around the city's area. You know, I skate with some of my buddies in Elk River here, and then you know, I'm down in the gym in Edina every morning. So, I mean, it's been going good so far. I think this is my third week at the gym down there, but I'm enjoying it.
And Matt, kind of looking at what you took away from, you know, the seven games plus, you know, all just the time being at practice on the taxi squad, you know, just being around professional hockey players for as long as you were there any couple maybe tidbits or lessons you're really taking into the offseason that you really want to work on, whether it's how you do something, you know, a part of your game, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I learned a lot even, you know, in my short time there at the end of this year, but yeah, I mean, I think I learned a lot from the guys. I mean, you just kind of, at practice and whatnot, you kind of sit back and watch guys and, you know, you take in little things like, you know, watching some of the guys like Barkov, just his work ethic and, you know, like his leadership on the ice, he leads by example. And, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think I learned, you know, some things I need to improve on and, you know, more about the next level and playing in the NHL and kind of what it takes. And that's kind of what I've narrowed my off-season training on. It's just little bits that I want to improve in my game and that I think can help me next year and moving forward.
And Matt, this was a Panthers team this year that obviously had a really successful season there and was consistently getting the results they were looking for. And just from our vantage point, it looked like a group that genuinely enjoyed being around each other and genuinely was having a good time out there. You always heard guys talking about how much fun it was and seemed like a really welcoming environment too. How would you describe that, the day that you showed up, just how welcoming the group was?
Yeah, the group was great to me. You know, it can be tough kind of joining a team at the end of the year there. They've been together all year, and then you kind of come in as a new guy. But, you know, I really didn't feel like I was just a new guy. They made me feel very welcomed, and you know, when I came to the rink for morning skate the first day, everyone came up and introduced themselves. And, you know, in my first game that night, they, you know, everyone was great. They were just saying, you know what, it's just another hockey game. Like, go out and have fun. Don't think about it too much. And, you know, and they're right. I mean, my time there in the locker room and everything, it's just loose. You know, guys are laughing, having a good time. And, you know, we were getting the results we wanted, too. We were winning on the ice, so that always helps as well.
And Matt, going back to that time, like you said, that first game showing up, it was about a week between your last college game and that debut with the Panthers. Have you had more time to kind of think back just how crazy that week was? You know, one day you're just a college kid, the next you're actually an NHL defenseman. Just, I'm sure that was probably one of the wildest weeks of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was going through it, I didn't really have time to sit and think about it. So, but now that it's over, looking back at it, it was, you know, it was a pretty crazy time. I went from that 5 overtime game in college that we lost in the NCAA tournament. And then, you know, I think it was, yeah, I think actually exactly a week later, I was playing my first game with the Panthers. So, you know, everything that happened in between those two games was pretty hectic. It got a little stressful, but, you know, it's just the way it was. And, you know, as soon as I got to Florida, it was stress-free. I mean, everyone was great to me. It was awesome. It was basically another home.
And how was life in Florida? I mean, I'm sure you were hotel living, I'm sure. Were there any guys in particular you hung out with? Did you have a little crew while you were here? You know, obviously with all the protocols, you couldn't do much, but kind of what did you get into when you were down here?
Yeah, like you said, I was at the hotel. So, you know, I got closer with the guys that were staying at the hotel. And, I mean, yeah, we couldn't really go out and do too much with the COVID protocols and whatnot. But, you know, just little things like sitting by the pool or, you know, playing cards. I know me, Juleson, and Tippett played cards. And, you know, Juleson was eating quite a bit. So I played with his dog. He had a dog down there. But, no, it was fun. I got to get closer with all those young guys at the hotel.
Did you get to explore it all kind of in that gap between end of season and going home once you were out of the bubble? Did you go downtown? Did you do anything like that? Did you kind of get the lay of the land a bit?
Yeah, I went to the I went into Fort Lauderdale because we were Coconut Creek is where the hotel was. But yeah, I went down into Fort Lauderdale, Las Olas, got dinner there, and
nice.
Had a beach day and whatnot. So yeah, I got to enjoy that.
Got to experience the Florida life
before I went home. Yeah.
Well, Matt,
yeah,
just,
it's a little different than North Dakota where for the past 4 years.
Oh, I can imagine. It gets a little chilly up there. And I want to ask you about that time at North Dakota. Obviously, it's been an elite NCAA program for a long time. How did that time there at North Dakota prepare you for the National Hockey League and for taking this next step?
I think they do a great job at North Dakota. You know, the whole coaching staff, from Brad Berry, the head coach, to Dane Jackson and Carl Gehring, I think they, you know, they do a tremendous job of, because they know, they kind of know they've had players go through. I mean, many players have gone through there and played in the NHL, so they know what it takes, and, you know, they played in the NHL, so they do a great job of, you know, I think developing guys and working on little things that translate to the next level well, and, I mean, they're there 24 hours a day as well, so you just go knock on their door and I say you want to go out and work on little things, they'll throw their skates on right away and do it. So, no, I think I have to give, you know, all the credit in the world to that program for helping me get to where I am.
And as you see teammates, guys that you played with during your time there, take the next step in their hockey journeys, you know, how much do you check night to night to see, you know, how's so-and-so doing as he's taking his next step into pro hockey? And how much do you keep tabs on some of the North Dakota alumni? Obviously, there are some very decorated players who played there. And is that motivation when you see whether it's guys that were your teammates or guys that have, you know, played, been a part of the program prior to you, is that motivation when you see what those guys are able to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they, you know, they were in the same shoes as me when they were going through North Dakota. So, you know, you see guys like Brock Besser. I mean, obviously it's a little different for him. He's a first round pick and I was undrafted, but still he went through that program, and, you know, you look at him now in the NHL and he's lighting it up. And, you know, guys like Brock Nelson in the playoffs right now, he's been lighting it up. So, you know, there's a good group of alumni that's gone through there, and they always, you know, come back and stay close with the program. You know, our coach would, before some games, he would say, like, you know, so-and-so texted me last night, like Oshie texted me last night and wanted to say this to you guys, and like little things like that. So it's a pretty tight group up there. Even when guys leave, they still like to, you know, reach out and come back and talk to the staff and whatnot. But as far as checking in on guys, especially this year, you know, guys like Shane Pinto and Bernard Docker, my D partner, whenever they were playing up in Ottawa, I'd always check the scores or, you know, see how they're doing, time on ice and whatnot. So we were a really tight group. So, you know, I think we'll probably stay close and stay in communication.
And Matt, when we get guys on the podcast, this is your first time coming on, we also like to talk about the off-ice stuff, you know, let fans know a little bit more about you as a person, what you're into, things like that. And kind of going off that, when I was looking for kind of, you know, back at your history, digging through old articles, I found a Q&A you did when you were, must have been 15 or 16, and it said your favorite TV show was Lost. And I got to know, is that still favorite? Is that still up there? Because during this whole pandemic, I did a big Lost rewatch, and I think it holds up.
Yeah, no, Lost was unbelievable. But I think that was probably just the show I was watching at the time, and that's what I went with. But I think I'd have to go, my all-time favorite is, I mean, it's kind of cliche, but it's got to be The Office.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of people.
I think I've watched that start to finish probably 3 or 4 times.
I was just so impressed with the Lost pick, because you don't hear that a lot, yeah. Especially from guys that are, you know, 15, 16. It seems like in my generation, I'm older. Like, I watched it live and then I rewatched it on Netflix. Was that just something you stumbled across on streaming?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember how I came across that. It might have been, I was probably in high school. Yeah, I don't know how I came across it, but I remember I started watching it and I was in love with it. That show was unreal. I mean, I binged the whole thing in probably 2 weeks. So.
And did you have a favorite character?
Yeah, that. Oh.
There's a couple.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can pick a favorite.
I never watched Lost, but Matt, I'm right with you on your pick of The Office. That's my favorite right there. You can't go wrong, and once you've seen them all, you can go back and watch any episode and just you know, fall right back into it. But Matt, I want to ask you too, outside of television and outside of the training that you're doing here in the off season, what is your favorite activity to wind down? I know up in it's beautiful up there where you are this time of the year. So what are you doing for your leisure activities here this time of the year?
Yeah, no, I love summer in Minnesota. I think it's hard to beat, but there's a lot of nice golf courses around here. I love to golf. Me and my buddies usually go out, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. So been doing a lot of that. And I was just trying to be outdoors. I mean, I went camping last weekend, try to get out on the lake and do some fishing when I can. So just try to stay out of the house as much as I can and enjoy the nice weather.
And Matt, winding things down here, obviously this offseason shorter than usual. We're almost in July already. Just how much are you looking forward to getting back here to Florida to kind of kick off, you know, that first full season in the pros?
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it. I think, I was there for a month and a half or whatever it was at the end of this past season. But, I'm excited to go in. And I kind of got that taste of what the next level's like. And, you know, I'm trying to have a good summer here and go into training camp and, you know, see what I can do next year. But I'm really excited to start a full season and have my first year pro.
Well, Matt, I know that Jameson and I both just love seeing guys make their debuts. It was a thrill to see you make your debut this season and to get to see you play. We can't wait to see your career continue to progress. And huge thanks to you for taking some time out for us. We wish you all the best this summer. Have a great rest of your summer. And once again, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I will. I'll see you down in Florida at the start of the season.
Sounds good.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Big thanks to Matt Kierstedt for stopping by the show this week. Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. A lot of cool nuggets coming out of that conversation, Jameson. He's enjoying his offseason. He's already getting ready for next year. He mentioned that, you know, obviously in Minnesota, no shortage of high-level players to skate with, to train with, I'm sure, up there in Minnesota. But Matt Kierstedt, he's going into this offseason and getting ready for what's to come in the fall. And again, a lot we could take out of that conversation from his time at North Dakota to his time with the Panthers this year.
Yeah, and you look at what he's, you know, heading back to. Obviously, the Panthers have a lot of defensemen here right now. I think that's going to make all those guys a lot better. Not just the vets that are already here, but you look at kind of the guys in that Kierstedt range in terms of age and experience. You have John Ludwig, you have, you know, Max Gildan, you have Vladislav Kolyachanuk. You have all these guys in their early 20s that, you know, want to make that jump. And I think that's going to make all those guys better. And Matt Kierstedt's a key part of that. But yeah, great to hear from him. Great to hear what he's doing over there. According to Randy Moeller, who's in Colorado right now, he says it's getting pretty hot over there. So he didn't tell us too much about that. But I imagine Matt Kierstedt will probably be spending some time on the lake or fishing here pretty soon, because apparently it's getting pretty hot up there in the Northwest. So great to hear from Matt Kierstedt, a guy you and I both have high hopes for. And big thanks to him for his debut interview on Territory Talk.
Yeah, I was really impressed with his game right away. And we can't hit it home enough. But to come in immediately and have the instincts and the skating ability be something that you notice right away, those are things that you can build on, and those are things that are always going to be a part of his game. And it was really fun to see him make his NHL debut. And I know, as I said in the conversation, speaking for Jameson, you know, it doesn't matter what the guy's background is, where he's coming from. Anytime a guy makes a National Hockey League debut, doesn't matter what point in the season it is, what's at stake in that particular game. For me personally, it's one of the most exciting things about the job that we get to do, is to see guys realize that dream and make that National Hockey League debut. And it was a huge thrill back on April 3rd to see him play his first game.
Yeah, and if you haven't yet, head over to FloridaPanthers.com, go to Panthers Vision, and watch episode, I believe, 5 of Panthers Uncaged from season 2 from this season, which has a lot of great behind-the-scenes footage of Kierstedt's debut, his parents being there, interviews with them, the whole Mark Parrish story, things like that. So go take some time, head over, watch that. It's a great episode.
And Matt Kierstedt, again, big thanks to him for stopping by on this week's edition of Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Panthers, presented as always by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Jameson, we get into this point in the calendar, and sometimes there are some slow news days, but we have had some consistent news days lately with the NHL awards being rolled out gradually. And I mentioned it off the top, but big congratulations to Alexander Barkov for taking home the Selke this year.
Yeah, no, well-deserved honor for Alexander Barkov. He ran away with it, too. Yeah, he crushed second place in terms of points and first-place votes. So clearly a long time coming. Like we said, you know, he's finished fifth before. He's finished, I think, sixth. He's gotten close. The first-time finalist, first-time winner. He's in the club now. He's there with Bergeron. He's there with, you know, Kopitar. He's there with Stone, these guys that seem to always get votes every single year. He's got the reputation now. He's going to get votes every single year. And the funniest thing to me, too, is that he's also still in the Lady Bing Club. I don't know if you saw the votes there, but he finished, I think, fourth for the Lady Bing. So he's the Selke. Rarely does a guy, I think when he won the Selke, he was only the fourth guy to win the Selke and the Bing in their career. It's a low number. It's like him, Datsuk, and a couple other guys, but it's four or five, something like that. But now he's suddenly in the running for both those every season, which is crazy to think that he can be such an aggressive defender while also being such a gentleman out there, and we know him as a good gentleman. So, yeah, huge honor for Alexander Barkov, well-deserved. The possession numbers were crazy, you know, led the team in takeaways. The points, of course, were there. 26 goals were there. So he did have that two-way all-around game that you have to have to win the Selke. And, yeah, well-deserved honor for Alexander Barkov.
And, again, the Lady Bing goes annually to the player who exhibits a high level of sportsmanship as well as a high level of play. And Alexander Barkov, to play, this has been something that is just, I mean, it's almost been mind-boggling since he's been in the National Hockey League, a guy that plays the minutes he does and is relied upon defensively the way he is, and for how much he's around the puck, and for, you know, how active his stick is on the ice. The fact that he just does not take penalties is it just shows how disciplined and how in control he is. We talk about him being in control of games, controlling the tempo, doing everything offensively, but it shows you just how in control of his overall game he is, that he's able to take on that kind of responsibility, play against the other team's best players, play the minutes he does in the defensive zone, and not take penalties.
Yeah, no, it really is incredible. And like we always say, Barkov is one of those guys that definitely sees the game in slow motion. And at times it looks like he's moving in slow motion because he's that good, that in control, that good a skater with that extra long stick, all the amazing things he can do. And they haven't announced the Hart winner yet. Of course, Barkov not a finalist, but I look forward to that announcement because I feel like if you had to guess where he finished in Hart voting, where do you think? I'm going to guess he finished 7th.
Yeah, I was going to say 5, 6, 7,
he's
somewhere
be up
in
there. I've taken a straw poll from some voters I know, and he's definitely at least got some votes, so I know he's definitely up there. I'm going to say 6, 7.
Yep, somewhere in that range.
So stay tuned for that.
I would agree with you. So it just shows you how well-rounded of a player he is because he's coming up in the conversation for
all the awards
different
now.
Awards that yeah. All really have different meaning. And I would imagine Connor McDavid's going to be taking home that Hart trophy, but we'll wait and see how things pan out. And, of course, the Jack Adams Award for the NHL's Coach of the Year, as well as the GM of the Year Awards. Those were both handed out as well. Joel Quenneville was a finalist for the Jack Adams. Bill Zito was a finalist for the GM of the Year Award. Both, as we talked about over and over here on Territory Talk, we felt in our minds that we're leaders in the clubhouse for those. Both finished third. Both were finalists. Both behind very, qualified candidates. No doubt about that. There were some great names involved in the list of finalists for both awards. But Joel Quenneville, Bill Zito finishing third in the Jack Adams voting as well as the GM of the Year Award, respectively.
Yeah, and of course, a big honor just to be named finalist, but I really do think that, no one did more in a single year than Bill Zito in terms of transforming a team. And of course, Lou Lamoriello, for the Islanders, he won second straight year, which I kind of feel a little crazy considering I feel like what he won for this year is what he won for last year. And I really, like we always say, the voting for these things seems to always be fluid and changing. And a big reason for GM of the Year is also they vote after the second round of the playoffs. So it becomes, no matter how good you are in the regular season, you still got to at least win that first round, it seems like, to win that award nowadays. So for the Panthers, as they go deeper in the playoffs, you got to think Bill Zito is not only going to continue to be a finalist, but he will, with the way things are going, he should eventually get that win if he can keep up what he's doing here, which we all think he will. And Coach Q, he's already won a Jack Adams. He's got a bunch of Stanley Cup rings. I don't think it matters too much to him. But of course, like we say, with the success the Panthers have and appear to, be set to have in the future, you got to imagine he'll continue to be in the running there as well.
And we mentioned Bill Zito. I agree with you 100%. GM of the Year in my book, although qualified candidates, no doubt about that. Lou Lamoriello, Mark Bergevin, both have constructed very good hockey teams as well, and you see the proof of that. But Bill Zito transforming the makeup and identity of a roster and getting everybody on the same page, really pushed all the right buttons, and everything he did was a home run. Had an outstanding year, and he's going to be in the mix for that award a lot in the future, I would imagine. And as far as the Jack Adams is concerned, I think you look at the – and Rod Brind'Amour, look at the Carolina Hurricanes. They had a great year. They took on the identity of Rod. You could tell his fingerprints certainly on that team. They are well coached, no doubt about that. Watch the Carolina.
And winning the division
play.
Just makes it a slam dunk.
The consistency that they brought, when you have talent and consistency and it performs that way, no doubt, coaching is a major part of that. That is a very well-coached Carolina Hurricanes team. And Dean Evason in that mix as well. Minnesota maybe exceeding expectations more than anybody this season. So you had a couple of guys also on that list of finalists who did a great job and were certainly deserving of the honor. But getting back to what, in mentioning Bill Zito transforming the roster, really, Joel Quenneville had to do a lot of coaching without much of a preseason, without much of a, with
and that's why we said they were kind of both deserving. Yeah.
And Joel Quenneville had to do a lot of coaching with this group and to get them to perform consistently the way that they did. In my mind, and just for full disclosure, the Jack Adams is voted on by the NHL Broadcasters Association, which I'm a part of. I have a vote in it. You have to get the vote in before the playoffs begin.
Which I think all awards should be, really.
I like the system. And you rank a 1, 2, 3. And I ranked Joel Quenneville number one. I put Rod Brind'Amour number two. And I put Jared Bednar from the Colorado Avalanche at number three. So that was my ballot. And my final criteria for Joel Quenneville being my number one pick was that with how different this roster looked coming into
the year, adapting to change.
He had to do a lot of coaching. He had to make a lot of personnel decisions on the fly. And I tell you what, he showed, and you always hear people talk about this, he's got a real knack for knowing who's going in a game, for knowing who to put with who.
Pushing the right buttons.
He definitely put that on display this season to get this team to within a stone's throw of a division title this year. It was an unbelievable coaching job from Joel Quenneville. Didn't get his name on the award this year, but I ranked him number one, and that was why.
Yeah, and one award we don't have a finalist in, but I'm sure we'll mention once it's announced, is, of course, the Norris Trophy for the top defenseman in the NHL. We don't have a finalist. Looked like Aaron Ekblad was on that track before the injury. I think he would have got there, at least, been very close. But one guy who, talking to people, talking to voters, is going to get some votes. Mackenzie Weegar is going to get some votes. And I am excited to see, once they reveal those ballots, where he falls there. Because he could be top 10, which would be just an incredible year-over-year transformations for him. So we're not looking at the winner there, but I am looking forward to seeing the voting results there once those are released.
We used to always talk about Alexander Barkov being the most underrated player in the National Hockey League, and there are still some people who talk that.
Now it's kind of Huberto.
Yeah,
and Weegar.
The Barkov underrated tag went out the window a long time ago. He's a bona fide superstar. But Mackenzie Weegar, over the course of this season, I think went from being the under-the-radar guy to all of a sudden, everybody knows who Mackenzie Weegar is now.
Well, the reason for that, though, too, is because during the off-season rumor mill with all the rumors about Toronto wanting to acquire him, that just made the entire hockey world look him up on Hockey Reference and Hockey DB and say, who is this guy? And so that's he even talked about that a little in the season, how that kind of boosted his profile. And then, of course, he said, no, I'm sticking Florida 3-year deal, So that kind of helped give him some buzz before the season even began. And then I remember seeing throughout the whole season with how good he was throughout the whole season, Toronto fans on Twitter saying, man, we should have got this guy, like, we knew how good he was, blah blah blah. So there's a lot that goes into raising a guy's profile, and as much drama as it adds on social media, I think just being involved in the rumor mill helps your profile. Mackenzie Weegar definitely got a nice boost from that,
and he's noticeable too. There are a lot of people who watch, who's the guy with the flow out there? Did he keep it? Do we know if he cut it?
The last photo we saw was probably 2 weeks after the season. It was still there. So,
still there.
Like we say, stay tuned to Instagram, because we need to find out if it ever goes away, because I hope it doesn't.
Because again, His bursting onto the scene this year was accompanied by being the guy on the Panthers with the long hair.
And you know what? This ties back. I know we're running a little bit longer than we wanted here, but this ties back, Doug, to a conversation we've had in the past multiple times about cool.
Yeah, cool
and
factor.
About how some athletes are just cool, and that helps their profile. It's why there's some guys out there with better numbers than Ken Griffey Jr., but Ken Griffey Jr. is one of the, for a lot of people, the best baseball player of all time, because he was also really cool. And Weegs was cool this season. And I think a lot of hockey fans, especially in South Florida, that maybe flipped on the game for the first time, have Weegs as their favorite player, at least up there, or at least as a guy they say, like, oh yeah, Mackenzie Weegar, Florida Panthers, that guy kicks butt, that guy. So, Weegs also brought the cool factor this season.
Yeah, he brought the cool factor, no doubt about it. And he was calm and cool this season, playing a lot of minutes in key situations for the Panthers, and it's going to be pretty cool. And we continue to bring you episodes of Territory Talk each and every Wednesday. Again, went a little long here today, but we got time. We got some time for you. Happy to keep hanging out. Doug Plagans, Jameson Olive here with you. Big thanks to Matt Kierstead, Panthers defenseman, for stopping by on this week's edition of Territory Talk, which, as always, is presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Once again, new material each and every Wednesday for you. So continue stopping by to check it out. We will be back with you again next week. Again, thanks to our guest, Matt Kierstead. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. For Jameson Olive, I'm Doug Plagans, and we will talk to you on Territory Talk next week.
Thanks for listening to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. For all your Panthers news and information, follow FLA Panthers on Twitter.